kingdom, O Lord, our risen Saviour. Well, Christmas was great fun for many of us, with family and friends, good company, good food, enjoying the gifts of God's good creation, and the fellowship and friendship and love and support of a good Christian family here, and a very pleasant community in the villages around us. But Christmas is over, and it's welcome 2023, a new year begins today, and many people have resolved to do things differently in this new year, our new year resolutions. The angels told the shepherds, a saviour has been born to you, Christ the Lord, and the shepherds resolved to find out what this meant, and they went to find Jesus. Mary resolved to follow God's leading. She presented her child to God on the eighth day after his birth, as was the Jewish law and practice of the covenant. At the Exodus, the newly formed people of Israel had covenanted themselves to God, and they resolved to live as God had commanded, and God put his name on all the covenanted people and bless them. And this is found in the Old Testament reading that we didn't include in our service, but it's taken from Numbers chapter 6, usually known as the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And we in Christ are God's children of the new covenant in Christ. As Paul wrote to the Galatian church, as we heard, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. And since you are his children, God has also made you his heirs. And that's the result of our resolution to commit our lives to Christ. Christ is God's own Son. And here is the first resolution of a new year in God's program. It's a resolution made by Mary and Joseph. They acted in accordance with the Jewish law. On the eighth day after his birth, Jesus is circumcised, redeemed, and Mary herself cleansed through offering two doves. The fact that this takes place in the temple in Jerusalem and not the Bethlehem synagogue adds great significance to this. Jesus is dedicated to God in the same way as Samuel was dedicated to God by Hannah. And his name given in Hebrew is Joshua. The Lord is salvation. And here then we have Mary's obedience and trust in God, just as she had sung in response to the amazing promise that about the child that she was carrying in her womb. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he hath been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Jesus' birth story adheres to the strict Jewish law with regard to a male child and the purification of his mother. And this is followed by the words of prophecy from two more strict adherents to the Mosaic law, Simeon and Anna, as occurs just in the next verses after our reading. Mary's son will be the consolation of Israel and will be the bringer of salvation. Great joyful news. But this will come at a cost, and the shadow of the crucifixion is already apparent. Jesus, the Son of God, will bring redemption to the people and bring them into God's family. And as Simeon prophesies, not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles will become heirs of God, children of God. Mary's resolve and resolution, and the resolution of her son, as we hear in the prayer in Gethsemane on the eve of his crucifixion, would lead to salvation. Jesus fell on his face to the ground in Gethsemane and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." There was a personal cost. There was the cost of Jesus' life and Mary's painful, broken heart. The second resolution of our new year comes when we have invited Christ into our hearts and we commit our new year to him and celebrate being children of God and heirs in God's kingdom. When I read this passage about becoming heirs, I remembered that Sheila and I have been thinking about inheritance and those who are our heirs. We've recently, in fact just a week before Christmas, updated our wills to include our 10 grandchildren, all of whom have been born since we first drew up our wills in 1997. We resolved to make provision for all our heirs, 3 children and 10 grandchildren who've been born since the year 2000. You know, some people inherit very early in life, when premature deaths take place in their family. But others wait a long time to inherit. For example, King Charles III, who has been the heir apparent for 74 years, only to become king last year following the sad, though hardly unexpected, death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth II. I like the front page illustration of Private Eye at that time. A picture of Charles greeting one of the people queuing to walk past the Queen's coffin, lying in state. The bubble from Charles's mouth says, "Have you been waiting long?" "Not as long as you," comes the reply from a member of the crowd. Our children and grandchildren will inherit on our deaths a share of the small value that there is in our estate. So I keep on telling them it's not worth bumping us off. We do hope that each one of them will gain much greater value from having us around to love and support them. The good news that the gospel tells us is that we are heirs of God through Christ's death. And the really fantastic news is that we've already inherited. He has died for us, and we have inherited the gift of being daughters and sons of God. An eternal life of a loving relationship with God, having his love and his support. We have God's presence to hold us in his love and support us in our daily living, and we're assured of this relationship of love accompanying us throughout our lives, and then through death, and then into eternal life. God in Christ has resolved to give us life, life in all the fullness of our loving relationship as heirs in God's family. Not slaves, but heirs. No longer under law, our eternal relationship with God in Christ is not based on keeping the rules. Our salvation is not dependent on how closely we follow the rules of any church, or how close we adhere to any basis of faith outlining what we must or must not believe. Nor is our salvation based on how we feel about our relationship with God, or what we think. Our salvation is based solely on God and his promise to each one of us in Christ. Our freedom in Christ as those who are forgiven and have new life. The plan to live a healthier life is once again top of the list of North Americans making resolutions in 2023, vowing to exercise more, eat healthier, and lose weight. They were the top three New Year's resolutions in the US this year, according to the Global Consumer Survey. In this country, giving up smoking is once again fairly near the top of the list. But I like the Good Housekeeping magazine that suggests the following five resolutions for 2023. Number one, build a better budget, save more. I'll pass that one on to our children. Practice mindfulness is number two. Doing everything you can to be grateful for what you have in the moment, where you are in life, and who you are right now. I think that's a great resolution. Number three is cook something new each week. Eat more healthily and with far greater variety. Well, as a cook, I'm keen on that one. Number four is read more books. They suggest 40 for the year. Sheila, no problem. You won't get to the end of February before you've read 40, so. But still, reading is good. And then the last one, number five, create a cleaning schedule that you can stick to. Or as our grandmothers were often heard to say, cleanliness is next to godliness. But our number one New Year's resolution is to live in the freedom that we have in Christ. Not to feel that there are rules and regulations by which we can find eternal life. Simply accept God's gift, the inheritance of being heirs of God's promises in Christ. And with this resolution comes God's blessing as he gave it to Moses. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. We make our New Year's resolutions to follow Christ, and this is God's resolution, his name placed on us. He will bless us, and he will give us peace. Amen. Amen, meaning